You, we just thank you that we can take this time to focus our hearts to be with you together, Lord, and all across the world. Here we are together, just gathered at your feet, Lord Jesus. We lay aside anything else that would distract our hearts, distract our minds, that would stop the seed, that would block the word. We say no to those things, and we open our hearts, we open our minds to you because we need you. In ways that we don't even know, we don't even see, we have not yet comprehended. But we know, Lord, that you are so much greater, and we open our hearts because we know we need you, and we want to be penetrated by your spirit and by your heart. It's only because of who you are that we gather here today. The preciousness of your heart. May it reach our hearts as we reach our hearts towards you. We love you, Jesus. Just rest upon Kelly even now, Lord, as she shares. Thank you for having her step in and take this class, and we just appreciate it. I just pray your spirit would rest upon her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Guys, I'm going to turn off my speaker so I won't hear you until I'm finished. But if there's something I'm missing, because I'm also the technical person, just type it in the SMS text, and I can take care of business while I'm teaching. We've done it for years, so we'll do it again today. Okay, here we go. Okay, so the name of this blog is To Be or Not to Be. You choose the tree. To be or not to be. We choose the tree. And I'm sharing today really from a lot of what the Lord has been depositing in my heart and to me, which I am very thankful for. It's not a teaching. It is deeply, it's just hitting my heart really deep. I would like it to be sealed in my heart, but I believe the Lord has much work yet in this old vessel here, but I am being impacted, and it is precious, and it has been being released. Alana, dear, would you mind just turning off your video? Thank you, sweetie. And it is things that have been being released through the past several sharings in the Law and Lamb class and Sunday mornings, and it's a culmination of what I believe to be a release from God of his word as pertaineth to his heart because of the season that we are in and the openness with which he is sharing. And therefore, I find things that have been being released from the pulpit and from classes and from other people's sharing to be incredibly precious. And I haven't just wanted to let it pass me by. I have wanted it to reach the heart of Jesus, to reach its goal. And so I just pray right along with what Cassie prayed, that would be that this would not go forth vain. The word of God would not go forth vain, but be sown into us as his bride for his heart's sake. So let's begin with Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And this is something that resonates in a lot of us right now who have been in Ireland recently. This is partially from the first evening sharing that Pastor Randy did, called The Story of God's Heart, I believe was the title of it, but it was partially based on these scriptures in Genesis, so I'll just read them for us. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And in that sharing and in the flow of the scriptures here in Genesis, it's kind of like just refreshing our hearts and what was shared with us. It was like God said all of these things that he created for us. But when he mentioned one in his image, one after our likeness, God, the Godhead saying that was for them. That was the first slip or release or clue to what was in the Creator's heart, what was in his heart, what he longed for. How amazing, how profound that he'd even let that slip. And that he'd even allow us to hear that from his heart. And so that is our first scripture. And I'd like to read something I just came across that Jesse Penn Lewis wrote concerning these scriptures. And I'm just going to read that to you. You can find this. It's a quote out of the book she wrote called The Cross of Calvary. This is Jesse Penn Lewis. The yearning of the Creator for fellowship with beings created after his own likeness is one of the greatest mysteries in the revelation of the heart and character of Jehovah. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, the triune God had said, when the beautiful earth created by his word lay before him, yet with no beings upon it that answered to his heart. Amen. I like to, let me read this last sentence again. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, the triune God had said, when the beautiful earth created by his word lay there before him, yet with no beings upon it that answered to his heart. And so we just take that first seed and begin to tune into the heart of God and what his needs are, what his desires are, what he calls good. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, 17, and 18. And these are also things that have been coming forth from different times of fellowship and sharing and classes, things that have been impacting me really deep. Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. So this is something that came up in the Law and Lamb, Law and Grace class a week or so ago. Truly incredible. If you look closely at the verses 17 and 18, this was something that affected me. It does not say that it is not good that man would eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In verse 17, it says, man will surely die when he eats from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What's not good is that man should be alone. And the flow of those two sentences in verse 17 and 18, the flow of those two thoughts are almost like they're connected, like they affect each other. Those two sentences have an effect one upon the other. And so eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in that garden where God made man for himself, and the man choosing to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of be with him in the way he needed, that resulted in God being alone. God not getting one after his kind. God not having that one in his image. Because when, and this harkens back to that sharing in Ireland, when Adam and Eve partook of that tree of death, not only did they die, but God lost that one after his own kind. I mean, that was that moment when we just began to go, oh my gosh, this being has a heart, was the way God was defined. This being has a heart. And when they ate from that tree, yeah, they died, but he lost that dream, that one, that helpmate, mate fit for him, for his heart. It's just so profound to think upon it from his loss. You know, I, in my self-centeredness, in my self-awareness as a result of that very fall, I mean, I only think and have thought about it primarily in regards to, if I do that, I die. If I do that, I lose closeness to Jesus. But it's me, I'm losing. If I do that, I'm in trouble. If I do that, I'm uncovered. I'm cast out of the garden. I'm the one who is guilty. All that self-awareness, all just the heart being turned towards myself. I mean, and when that seed was released in the Word of God and from the heart of God and to us at this time, it was like, wait a second. When I partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's not just that I'm in trouble and that I sinned and that I'm guilty and I need to go get under the blood and forgiven, but that, what does that action do? Just like verses 17 and 18 are linked, what does that do to the heart of Jesus? To be or not to be one for his heart, to be or not to be one after his kind, to be or not to be one that answers his desire That is the question. That is the real question in the garden. You know, under the law, the question is to be or not to be a good Christian, to be or not to be obedient, to be or not to be someone who does what the Lord tells them to do and doesn't sneak around and eat from the wrong tree. No, that's all way down here in our realm, way down in the fallen man's perception of how God would want to relate to us, so much lower than God's heart that said, I need one after my kind. I want a bride. I want one that's fit for me. That's one. And if she eats from that tree, I lose her. I'll lose her. I lose. But he doesn't say that. He says, you lost, and I die, and I cover, and I bleed, and I give, and I redeem, and I care, and I come to you on Calvary. But in the season that we've been in the very last week of it, but I say it's forever, the Spirit's been birthing in us a new awareness, awakening us to a new viewpoint where we don't consider ourselves as much as we consider him. What does this do to him? How does this affect him? What does this mean to him? That's when the heart turns towards the Lord, the veil is rent. That's when things start changing. That's when real change starts happening, when that heart starts turning to him. Even the Bible says that. When the heart turns towards the Lord, then that veil is rent, and then we're changed. But not when we're doing it for any other reason, but to give him one after his kind. That's the motivation of love for Jesus. That's that new bride motivation that's being breathed and birthed in greater measure in all of us in ways we've never even dreamed we could actually feel deep inside. But it's happening because it's God at work in us to will and to do what Jesus needs us to be as his wife. Those that are after his kind and that care about him, that find his heart and that receive that tree of life, that new image, that new kind, that lamb. And that's what happens is if we, if they in that garden said, no, I don't want to eat from that tree of death and separation that won't please him and fulfill him. I want to eat from that tree of life. That tree of life, I believe, signifying Christ crucified, the slain lamb, the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, not just for sin, but because of who he is in his eternal beingness. This is who God is, with or without creation, before and after time, eternally so. He is this. And he said, hey, if you want to partake of me and be one and be filled with who I am, come eat from the tree of life. Come be after my kind. Come know me from the inside out. Be mine. You know, but the choice was made in another direction. And with that choice came God's redemption. With that choice came a death that was for sin, that was for because of the fall, and also was to bring forth the eternal desires. Covered everything. Covered the sin offering, and it covered the burnt offering. It covered atonement. It covered redemption. It covered propitiation. It fulfilled everything all in one wonderful, deep, awful, awesome, great and terrible day of the Lord death. It did it all. Oh, this blessed one, this husband, this groom who is a lamb, did that. And now we're back. We're back in, if you will, that garden, per se. Back in that place of opportunity where we can come again and say, which tree am I going to eat from? But this time, and this is what I feel in my heart, maybe this time it's different. This time I'm not just so aware of how it affects me, even in my relationship with Jesus. But this time it's for him. This time it's for him. And I'm not following all my notes here, but I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit guides. And, you know, many times the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's signified by the serpent aiding us in our decision-making process to eat of it. And that serpent magnifies the earth issues of good and of evil to seduce us and to beguile us to eat of it. I mean, it's never just, I'd say for most of us, it's never like, I just want to hurt the Lord and hurt my brothers and sisters and be a rebel in the kingdom of God. I just want to just be a total disobedient child in this Christian whatever. But no, it's usually our heart and mind get gathered in to something based on some earth issue of good or of evil that leads us straight outside of the realm of the Lamb and his life in us and his mind being in us, his nature filling us, us being that house where he can be at home, that beyond Bethany, that Jerusalem where he is eternally desired to find his everlasting rest. You know, that all of a sudden the issues are no longer what the serpent is holding up. All of a sudden the serpent's saying, but what about this? But this hurts so bad. But that was so mean. That was so wrong. It's so unjust. The cost is too great. How could, what? In the poison, you feel the poison starting as you listen and as you consider and as you begin opening yourself, the inward parts of your being to that serpent and to those things. You're starting to eat and you feel it almost like a needle going in and inserting its poison. You feel it starting to get in you. And the more you think on it and reason and agree and receive those words, those lies, those thoughts, you just start being totally the wrong kind. Just so contrary. I've heard it called recently a perverted image, just so perverted compared to the image of Christ within us, the image of God himself being in us through Christ crucified as our life, just so perverted, so other. And yet, what if something began to happen in our hearts where we went, oh, I know this feel, I know that serpent voice, I know that knowledge of good and evil weighing, I know the feel of that poison trying to come in and inject in my mind another mind, in the mind of the flesh, the carnal mind that wars against God's heart. And you just said, stop right there. And you just started turning and turning and turning your heart. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the serpent says. It doesn't matter what the circumstance. It's death. It's not his image. It's not him. And you go to that cross and you start partaking of that crucified lamb for one reason. To fulfill his desire to have one after his kind. It is not good that man should be alone. Do not eat from that tree. Why? Because it's not good for God to be alone. It's not good for him. It's not good. And you just go, hey, I don't care what the serpent is showing me. I don't care what is happening in the earth. Think of the book of Revelation and all the inhabitants of the earth and woe, woe, woe unto them and no way out, too much travesty and tribulation for them to comprehend and stay with God. But the bride's different. She's different. She goes, wait a second. I don't care what the beast is doing. I don't care how much famine and sickness and death and peril and tribulation. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, we are being led as sheep to slaughter. Yes, even in these altars, all things are working together to bring forth the good that God defined as not being alone. Yeah, this isn't good. This is lost. This is an altar. This is unjust. No. I am not with the serpent in this. I am not with my self-aware fallen image in this. I am with the Lamb's desire to have one after his kind in this. And like Romans chapter 8 says, this is going to work together for the good of giving him one after his kind. This is going to work together that I might be conformed to the image of his son. The image of his son. This is going to work together for his good. And yes, we are all, if you continue in Romans chapter 8, it talks about all of us are led as sheep to slaughter. Yes, we are all being led into this tribulation, into this crisis to refine us as gold so we will have that lamb in us. But nothing shall separate us from his love. We in this fiery trial, he's going to find that gold of his life in us. It will be refined. This lamb will come forth and cover the mercy seat with one after his own kind. From this altar, Christ in me, in his lambness, is going to come forth to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit as one after, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image. I'm going to cover them all with the Lamb of God who's going to come out of me in this crisis and is going to cover the mercy seat, the very throne of God, the very habitation of God, with that which is his kind. Nothing shall separate us. All things work together for this good. God, may you have one after your kind. This is the cry of our heart at the end of this year. This is our desire, our determination to know nothing from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but to know the tree of life, Christ crucified. To know nothing among us but the tree of life. To not be caught up in issues with other people, but to know the tree of life, Christ crucified. I'm determined not to listen, not to know, not to eat from that tree. Why? Because I want to build God a habitation. Because I want to be after his kind for him. I want to satisfy my Jesus. I want to fulfill their heart desire in creating everything for those who love God, not just Jesus, God, and are called according to his purpose to have one after his kind in his likeness, in their image. Praise the Lord. The Bible starts opening up not in knowledge, but in the heart of God made real in us in practical daily decisions where we choose tree of life, tree of death, my Jesus, my way, his heart, my hurts. Which one is it going to be, him or me? It's his time, not just this past year, forever and ever and ever, worlds without end. It's his time. That's what the bride says. It's always his time, man. When is it not going to be his time? Since the cross, since eternity. And it's his time in our hearts, in her heart. It's always his time, and that dictates our choices. It makes it easier to say no because of love, because we care about him. We want him to be satisfied. So we're going to go just to a few scriptures here in Leviticus to show some practical things about what happens once we take a bite from that tree of death and we feel that stuff happening in us, but we don't want to stay there. We want to return unto me, our first love. Return unto me. Return unto me, he cries out through the prophets, all through the Old Testament. Return, he says, 42 times in the book of Jeremiah. God, through his prophet, cries out, return unto me, return. Well, sometimes we get caught up. We get seduced. We get beguiled. We get all turned around inside with some issue. And we leave the Lord. We leave his kind. We leave his image. We leave him in the cold. We leave him without a house. We leave him alone, and it is not good. But he sits there alone and uncovered, without a home, without his bride. And he says these words, return unto me. Return unto me. As a bride would return to her groom, read Jeremiah chapter 3. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 15. And this is something the Lord shared with me last night, and I just was so blessed, and I pray that it bless you. And I'm only going to be able to share a few seeds because it's a very meaty area of scripture, and there's much there. And if the Holy Spirit begins to draw your heart, just go with him, and he'll open up the beauty of Christ in these verses. But in Leviticus 14, in chapter 15 as well, we see a lot of the manner in which the law instructed the priests and the Hebrew people to deal with issues such as leprosy and contamination and sores and any kind of a vile thing, you know, leprosy being a plague in the house, contamination, etc., etc. And of course, these kind of things would be a direct result of the fall, these contaminations, these leprous things. This is the perverted image of the old man. This is the result of not having him, having another life, a life that is, you know, vile, vile. Not Christ, not Christ. So let's just look in Leviticus chapter 15. Let's start with verse 1. And it says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean, and this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. Okay, so we see that there's somebody who's got an issue in the flesh. I'd say that's as much New Testament terminology as it is Old Testament. We all get issues in our flesh with other people, with circumstances, with things that we perceive as evil and unjust and et cetera, worlds without end, et cetera, to the carnal mind. But what happens here in verse 3 is it says, whether his flesh run with his issue or his flesh be stopped from his issue. So now we've got someone who's been running with an issue in their flesh. They've eaten from that tree of death and they've got an issue now. They're contaminated. It's in their flesh, of course, and they're running with it. So I'd say they're on a pretty good fast track to the tree of death, going deep inside. But it says here that there's an option, or his flesh be stopped from his issue. And that's the heart of the bride. We're going, man, I know that I'm going to eat from that tree again. I don't want to, but I know that I will. Okay. Whether his flesh run with the issue or his flesh be stopped from his issue. That is the question now that we've partaken of something that's caused us to get defiled, caused us to have an issue running out of our flesh, caused us to be unclean and to bring that uncleanness with us to everything we sit on. That's the rest of this chapter. Everything we touch, if we spit on someone, if we lay on a bed, everything that touches us or something that we have touched, when we let that issue run in our flesh, they get affected by it. And it continues. And so, all right. So, but there is but the book of Leviticus is really testifying of Christ crucified as the answer to all these things and the provision for all these things. So we're not going to go into the depth of this. I'm just going to touch on a few things. So chapter 15 goes with this and it begins to talk more about issues in the flesh, different kinds of issues in the flesh. They're all just the flesh, the mind of the flesh, a perverted image, not the Lamb of God in us, his people, his children, his family. But the interesting thing that affected me was from the flow of chapter 14 dealing with leprosy, chapter 15 dealing with issues in the flesh, all of a sudden we stumble into chapter 16 in Leviticus, and here's the part that really affected me. That's the chapter about the atonement. Oh my gosh. So all of a sudden, he's just running straight from all these issues smack dab into the atonement. Leviticus chapter 6, a very famous chapter about that. Let's just read chapter 16. Excuse me, I said 6, I meant 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Let's start with verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother. Oh, this is powerful. That he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. What does it say happens if you eat from the knowledge of good and evil? The day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. God's looking at the image, the issues in the flesh of his people, the kind that they are. And he's going, do not come at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark. Because if you do, in the image you are in, you shall die. That is not my son. That is not my kind. That is not my kind. And so an atonement or an at-one-ment needs to happen where they are taken out from all that defilement and into who he is. And we're just going to look now in verse 12. We're still in the same chapter of Leviticus, Leviticus 16 and verse 12. And this is good. So this continues now, and it talks about the scapegoat, and there's one goat that's slaughtered, and the blood is sprinkled in the most holy place, and there's another goat that's the scapegoat that's sent to bear all of the sin and defilement and perverted image and wander, and there's many other portions to this offering, this atonement. But at a certain juncture in this ceremony or this offering, verse 12, we read this, and he shall take a censer full of the burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat. Praise Jesus. that is upon the testimony, that he die not. So this person is going through this process of eating from the tree of life. That's what the Day of Atonement represents. It is the tree of life coming to those who have a perverted image, who are running with issues in the flesh, who have become defiled from eating by the wrong tree. And Christ crucified says, I want to make you one with me. And I want to take into myself all that defilement and crucify and bury it. And I want you to take out from me the Lamb of God that was slain, censers full of burning coals of fire, sweet incense beaten small. And I want you to take from that tree of life and partake of that tree of life and take into yourself that slaughtered lamb who is the tree of life. And I want you to come back to me. Return to me, but this time with my kind, this time in my image, and let the cloud of that incense cover the mercy seat. And if you do, if you approach me in that way, you will not die, and I will not be alone. You will not be separate, and I will have one after my kind. And in closing, we're going to look at verse 16 in this same chapter of Leviticus 16. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. This whole atonement is for the holy place. This whole atonement is for the heart of the Lamb of God. The holy place of God is the very heart of God, the place where he wanted communion with one after his kind in oneness. This atonement is for the holy place. This atonement, first and foremost, is not for our sins, but it's for his heart. This atonement is so he can have one after his kind. If she will leave those issues and partake of his sacrifice and apply it to herself and cover herself and fill herself and clothe herself and put on the new and come before him in his fragrant image, filled with this Lamb of God, he will say, come on in behind the veil. Come on into my heart. Come on in, bride, and let's be one. And let's not be alone. And let's not be two. And let's not be separate. Because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, I have had you far away. And the holy place needed atonement. It needed to be made at one again. But if you will choose the right tree, you will be unto me, one after my kind. And that's the title for today, to be or to be, you choose the tree. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for opening your heart and opening your word, the words from your heart. Thank you for opening the veil of your being that we could, because of your great death, enter into oneness, to fellowship and cover and minister to you as one after your kind, even as Mary of Bethany copped on to and communicated, I see what you need, Jesus, and I see what kind you are, Jesus, and I love you, and I'm with you. We're with you. We don't want to just say no to issues because we think that person's right or this person's wrong, or I'll just lay my life down, or I'll just forgive them. Lord, it's still all about us. We want to say no to all that death because it robs you of your bride. Because it leaves you alone. Because it breaks your heart. We're at the end of a year of saying no more of that. No more of that. It's your time to receive your bride in daily and practical ways. In new ways that changes from deep inside to be that which is after your kind. And that chooses and loves you for who you are. And lets everything work together so you're not alone. And God, we say yes to that. Holy Spirit, we ask you to keep awakening us to the heart of Jesus and to the true issues, not the issues that our flesh runs with, but the issues that affect the heart of Jesus, that we would say no because of him, and we would say yes because of him, and that we would be motivated by his heart and not the earth, good or evil. It's all death. We love you. We're desperate for you. We cannot stop seeking your heart and your pleasure, Jesus. We cannot. We are captivated. You have captivated us this year, and we are yours. We are captivated. So continue for his sake, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for opening your heart and opening your veil. Thank you for the cross. We just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.